And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day. Rough running. You'd almost think that was a dog reference or a reference to Cool Running. You'd be wrong. Rough running. Also, we're going to triple check, and make sure we understand what the power of E is. You know, there's E this, E that. We're going to look at the power of E. Then we'll wind it down with so be it, which is also the same definition of the word amen, and conclude with what could possibly happen.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at. During the show, lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics. Let me think. Do I want to talk about politics? No. I think we'll skip that this hour. Entertainment and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oh no, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio, period. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-PRAISE, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back. Stand by for SRN News.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-PRAISE, the Christian station.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry. Since 1953, Whitefields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760- 846-8610 and donate today.
If we want to live happily in community together, we need to pursue one thing: peace. Hello, I'm Chuck Swindoll. Peace must be our goal, not comparing or condemning. As a matter of fact, spend less time talking about people in your groups. Spend more time talking about things, events, significant truths. Build up one another. Don't exercise liberties just because you can, if in the exercise you might hurt someone else. And don't judge. Don't try to play God in anybody else's life. Learn to live comfortably and peaceably in your own skin, in your own walk with Christ.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
One of the most controversial words in the Bible is found in Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. This is Jim Garlow. Want to start a firestorm? Just quote Ephesians 5:22 in a public venue. What gets left off too often, however, the words in Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Show me a man who can love his wife like Christ loved the church, and I'll show you a woman who won't struggle with this word, submitting. It's not about a husband lording his authority over his wife. How much did Christ love the church? How did he love the church? He took on himself the sins of the church. Translation, the husband takes responsibility for the failures, struggles, and the challenges of the marriage. Hard to do? Well, of course. But the rewards are a loving, fulfilling, spectacular marriage. There's more at jimgarlow.com.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Hey, I did come up with a new finger puppet routine. Watch this. That's good, huh? Okay, I've been working on that. Don't forget, if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com is an excellent way to go about it. Also, the David Spoon Experience on Facebook. Don't forget KPRZ's Facebook. In addition, if you've had a tough church experience and you're trying to figure out where, what, when, why, how, and how to get your big toe back into the pool, I encourage you to go to churchdisappointment.com. Churchdisappointment.com. For $9.95, you can get somebody else's perspective. And you're thinking, well, why should I pay $9.95? Well, because I pay like $6.95 and I'm not paying for your shipping. That's why. Okay, that's pretty simple. Let's get into our very first review. It's called Rough Running. Rough Running. Okay, so here is what happened. I'm going to share with you what happened to me. It happened several years ago. Okay, and so you know this is applicable. These are the things. The things that happen to you in the kingdom of God are not just for that year. They're for our walk. And so when we look at the life of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see that over the years, somewhere between 3 and 3.5, depending on your position, then over the years, at least 3, all these different events happen multiple times, multiple similar events, just like similar events happen to you. It's no different. It's just like life. So this happened to me several years ago, and the same teaching or the same admonition from the Lord is true today as it was the day I was doing it. So I am a late bloomer when it comes to running. Okay. I was into baseball. I was into basketball. Softball. I did bowling for a little while, but not real good. So I did some of those things. But when I got into my 30s, that's when I started to run. So I had never run before. And then I kind of got into it and I started to run a lot. Now I started to do my prayer time during running because nobody was there. I had a treadmill. I was in the garage and I'd be like ding, 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 ding. I'd be running. And it was really like therapeutic in a lot of ways. So one time I'm running and I'm just in that regular prayer mode, just like you guys get, just like everybody gets, and sometimes you get kind of prayerful. And all of a sudden, and the only way to describe this is, and I said this before, it's like a wave that comes and hits you. All of a sudden, the things that I was working on in life, the projects, the ministries, the people, all of a sudden, I felt this sense of fear. Like it came out of nowhere. Just like, you know, popped up. You know, like, you know, when you're surfing on the internet and then something pops up, like somebody's trying to spam you or they're trying to do one of those messages or whatever, it just pops up. Well, that's what happened to me while I was running, and it was like based in fear. All of a sudden, I was hugely concerned for my wife and her health and her well-being, and I was concerned for my children and their health and well-being, although they were in three different states. And then I was really concerned about the business we were in, and it was just going to crash and burn. And then I was really concerned about the ministry we were working in, that it was just going to, you know, get shut down and the government come against us. And all of these thoughts came continually at me. It wasn't like one thought and then disappeared. It just kept coming and coming, like a wave after wave after wave of not just irritation and annoyance, but disaster and, you know, impending doom and, oh, this is not going to go good. And I remember running thinking, what just happened? Because I was running and I was praying, and now in this, I don't know if it was 60 seconds or I don't know what the time was, but it was just like this onslaught of all these really, really horrible things that were forthcoming. And I recognized briefly, not brilliantly, briefly, that everything that I'm working towards the best that I can is like under attack. And it's under attack, you know, in the way I'm looking at it. And I can tell that fear is, I'm fighting fear. Now you go, the answer to these simple things are always in scripture, but they're profound if you're not thinking of it at the moment. And in 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Now, God leads us in triumph. The rest of the verse, and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. God, who should be thanked always, leads us into triumph. But when I was running and feeling all of that fear and feeling those kind of waves coming against me, I was, for a moment, I was able to tell that all of my expectations were being challenged. Like how I thought, you know, well, you know, God is good, it'll work out, and, you know, we're doing great, and this is great, and the kids are great, and my relationship with my wife's fantastic, and this is great. But all of a sudden, it was all like under the gun, like it could all just crash at any moment. And there was this tremendous amount of insecurity. I'm not telling you this because I'm spiritual. I'm telling you this probably because I'm not spiritual, because this is what I go through. I'm not sure that some of the great, you know, preachers and ministers and different leaders, I don't know if they go through this. I just know I went through it. And I know some other people that have gone through it. And it just seemed as though everything that I was expecting to turn out for good had made an instantaneous shift in my mind. And I was expecting everything for whatever reason to turn out bad. And I was really disturbed by this because it didn't seem right that I'd be praying and then, I mean, it'd make more sense if I was sinning and then I was thinking everything's going to turn out bad. But I was praying. So that shouldn't have happened, kind of thing. And then I had something that was kind of profound, so I'll be careful in how I say it. But then let's say I believe that the Lord was trying to communicate to me that some really great things were on the way and spiritual warfare was what I was going through. And in my mind, that fear was as real as any faith. I mean, it was temporary, but it was paralyzing. And I believe the Lord was trying to teach me that, you know, there's expectation and there's faith with expectation, but the enemy just doesn't, you know, lay down and go, oh, well, golly, just wipe out my kingdom. I'm okay with that. And so there's spiritual warfare that takes place. And some of that spiritual warfare is specifically targeted against our expectation so that we won't operate in faith. And what the enemy tries to get us to do is operate in fear. And what happens if you're afraid? What happens if you're a person who drives or in a car and you have some kind of fear? You want to take control. I'm taking over. You know, I know what to do. And I think as the Lord was trying to help me raise my expectation, Satan was trying to get me to lower my expectation. So from that experience, I went on a, not a whirlwind, but kind of a little tour with the Lord. And when we come back, I'm going to share how that tour went and what I learned. And hopefully it'll be helpful. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
Is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
God gives us the seasons of our lives.
Our daily bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Amy Boucher Pye. Amy writes, "While flying recently, I watched a mother and her children a few rows ahead of me. While the toddler played contentedly, the mother gazed into the eyes of her newborn, smiling at him and stroking his cheek. He stared back with wide-eyed wonderment. I enjoyed the moment with a touch of wistfulness, thinking of my own children at that age and the season that has passed me by. I reflected, however, about King Solomon's words in the book of Ecclesiastes, where he talks in chapter 3, verse 1, about, quote, every activity under the heavens, end quote. He addresses through a series of opposites how there is a time for everything. Verse 2 says, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot. Perhaps King Solomon in these verses despairs at what he sees as a meaningless cycle of life. But he also acknowledges the role of God in each season, that our work, as verse 13 says, is a gift of God, and that as verse 14 continues, that everything God does will endure forever. Amy concludes, we may remember times in our lives with longing, like me thinking of my children as babies. We know, however, that the Lord promises to be with us in every season of our life. We can count on His presence and find that our purpose is in walking with Him. Reach for God's Word any time of the day with the new Our Daily Bread mobile app, or receive the print version at home for no cost or obligation. Visit getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
Allison is perfect. I mean, she'd never tell you that. She's humble and perfect. She likes everyone. She even likes her untidy roommate's weird guinea pig. Allison, wait, are you texting and driving? Allison, no, that's the exact opposite of what I was just saying about you. Why, Allison, why? Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Help me anyway.
Joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Quick reminder, if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. First segment, we were talking about me running. We called that rough running because while I was running, there was these waves of fear. In the midst of my prayers, there was these waves of fear that everything that I was expecting to turn out good and working towards, all of a sudden, all those expectations were under great, great attack. and I do believe it was the enemy attacking. I do believe it was spiritual warfare. All of a sudden anticipating a dread or a fearing of what's coming. And I know that there's quite a few people out there that go through that. I mean, you don't want to identify it that way, but I'll go through some. And I think I just try and say what I think is going on. It's not always the best picture, but just like waves, one after the other, after the other, after the other, of these fearful expectations of all these different categories in my life. And I knew that it was some spiritual warfare, though I don't think I was doing that great through the process. So the Lord, you know, kind of led me and guided me on a little bit of a tour about expectation and how the enemy tries to sabotage expectation to drop our levels of faith. Keep in mind that without faith, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, we do a bunch of things in our lives, in our Christian walk, to try and not impress God, but certainly to do things that are pleasing to him. And Hebrews 11, 6 just drops it right on the line. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that he is, that he exists, and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. That there is something coming from God because of your faith. You have to believe that he's there and that he's going to respond to your faith. It's a requirement to please God. So if Satan in his strategy can reduce our expectation and thereby minimize our faith, he's doing better in his dark kingdom than we are in the kingdom of light. So the place that the Lord took me was Mark chapter 11, verse 20 through 24. How did he take you there? Well, I've read the Bible several times, and something came to my mind that there was a portion about expectation, so I decided I better look at this. Mark 11, 20 through 24. In the morning as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed is withered. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And it's like, wait, what? What? And so what happens is you get a passage like this and you get some kooky people that have stage presence and have a microphone and have money and have marketing. And they say, if you can't speak unto the mountain and move it an inch, you have no faith. And it's like, you just want to say, okay, there was Larry Moe and Curly. You're Curly. Sit down. Because when Jesus is talking about a mountain, if you're taking that literal as a mountain, that you're supposed to be moving mountains, you better open up a landscaping business right now. You should be number one landscaper in universe. Just call yourself A1 Universal Landscaping. We move mountains. Or you could understand that as he was illustrating the fig tree and cursing the fig tree, he was applying that to the application of faith. And you might even understand that the mountains could simply be the mountains in your life that seem like mountains. But we won't deal with that right now. Let's deal with what Jesus said in verse 24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, what is Jesus talking about? In prayer. What is he talking about? Asking in prayer. Believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. There is a level of expectation that we are supposed to operate in when we pray. If you are like me, all too often I will pray and just pray it because I know I'm supposed to pray it, but I don't really believe it, and I don't actually anticipate receiving it. That does not impress God. It makes me feel good that I've done my duty, but it does not impress God. I'm going to read you a quick story from a gentleman named Hudson Taylor. Here's what he wrote. I'm just reading a story, folks. I'm not doing anything else. I have had all sorts of experiences and all sorts of circumstances. And when I have come to God and pleaded his own promises in his word, I have never been disappointed. I have been in circumstances of great difficulty and have been led to ask him for remarkable help. I was nearly wrecked when I was going out to China for the first time. Our vessel was becalmed and gradually drifting upon the coast of New Guinea. We could see the savages on the shore. They had kindled a fire and were evidently expecting a good supper that night. When I was a medical student, some of the other students used to jeer at me because I was going among the heathen, and they would talk about cold missionaries. When it did look that night as if somebody was going to have a piece of hot missionary. The captain said to me, "We can't do anything else but let down the long boat." They tried to turn the head of the vessel around from the shore, but in vain. We had been becalmed for several weeks with never a breeze or any sign of one. In a few minutes, we would be among the coral reefs. We would be at the mercy of those savages, and it didn't look as if they had much mercy. Well, I said, "There's one thing we haven't done yet. Let the Christians on board pray about it." There was a black man on board, a steward who was a very sweet Christian man, and the captain was a Christian, and myself. I proposed that we should retire to our cabins and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, ask our father and his father for a breeze immediately. They agreed. I went to my cabin and told the Lord that I was just on my way to China, that he had sent me, and that I couldn't get there if I was shipwrecked and killed. And then I was going to ask him for a breeze, but I felt so confident about it that I couldn't ask. So I went up on deck. There was a second officer, a chief mate, a very godless man. I went up to him and said, "If I were you, I would let down the mainsail." Said he, "What do you want me to do? Let down the mainsail for? We have been praying for a breeze and it's coming directly, and the sooner we are ready for it, the better." With an oath, he said he would rather see a breeze than hear one. As he was speaking, I instinctively looked up and noticed that one of the sails was quivering with the coming breeze. Said I, "Don't you see the corners of the royals are already shaking? My dear fellow, there is a good breeze coming, and we had better be ready for it." Of course, the mate went to work, and soon the sailors were tramping over the deck. Before the sails were set to wind, the wind was down upon us. The captain came up to see what was the matter. He saw that our prayers had been answered, and we didn't forget to praise God for so signal a deliverance of the perils from which we were exposed. Do you know what all that means? It means that he said, "Put the sails up. We've prayed. So a wind is coming." And so came a wind from one of the great missionaries to China. Blew the boat right in the direction it needed to go. Are your sails up? You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere. Is this you?
Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hey K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. No catchy radio jingle here, just me asking for the opportunity to earn your business. I've been a top-selling realtor here in San Diego for over 2 decades, having sold homes all over the county. I'll give 25% of my commission back to a ministry of your choice. I've already given thousands to Turning Point, San Diego Rescue Mission, and Samaritan's Purse, just to name name a few. I'll even front any home fix-up costs at no charge to you. As a former Muslim and now Christian, I put God first personally and professionally. If you or someone you know is considering buying or selling a home, just meet with me. You have nothing to lose. I'll even share my testimony and give you a copy of my book. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM. That's 858-780-1SAM. Or visit me online for all your real estate needs, thinksam.com. That's thinksam.com. God bless.
I say to Mom, when the two boys are out playing catch, just go out there, take a chair out, not iPhone, have nothing going on, no recipe book, no nothing. Just sit there and just watch them play catch for 15 minutes. Don't say a word. Just watch them.
Dr. Emerson Eggerich on today's Focus on the Family Minute with a powerful way that you can make a difference in your son's life.
And they'll be making eye contact at you, throwing, you know, running, get the, they'll, whatever they're going to do. Now you get up, go into the house, evening meal, whatever. Now call them in. Tell them to go upstairs, make their bed that they didn't make, wash their hands and face, and clean up their room and come down to dinner. It'll all be done. See, what you've done is you've energized them. You've made a deposit in their spirits just by what we call the shoulder-to-shoulder activity.
Expressing an interest in what your son is doing demonstrates respect and will make a difference in your relationship. Hear more from Dr. Eggerich today at FamilyMinute.org.
My dad came in the room with my mom, and he said, "I'm so sorry, but your son Dobbs is in the arms of Jesus right now."
Meet Gentry Eddings. He and his wife survived a car accident that killed their two sons.
And I just remember losing it and just weeping, and my family, my sisters were there, and we all grieved together.
Recovering from that grief has been difficult. It's not over yet. But Gentry knows this to be true.
I think that God has to have a greater purpose for letting us walk through this, and that He would be willing to say, "I'm going to allow this evil to come to them," knowing that there's a greater purpose that I'm working and a greater story that I'm telling.
God has a great purpose for your life too, even when you're hurting. Learn more at our website, findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Hope the Lord is blessing you, giving you strength, wisdom, insights. Hopefully some of this is helping that process a little. We've been talking about rough running, how one time I was running and in prayer, and all of a sudden, all of my expectations were being terrorized, but by the enemy. And I, all of a sudden, I was, instead of expecting and believing, it was all just going the wrong direction. And the Lord was about to take me on a journey to teach me that there's a great power in expectation. So we, in the last segment, looked at Mark chapter 11, verse 20 through 24, in which Jesus said, "Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." And then we talked about the story of Hudson Taylor, how in the boat, as the boat was drifting towards the shore where there were cannibals, he prayed, and then he went up to the steward at the ship and said, "Well, put down those sails." And the guy's like, "There's no wind." And he said, "A wind is coming." And sure enough, a wind came. A lot of us don't put up the sails once we pray. And I'm as guilty as everybody else. I'll pray a prayer because I know I'm supposed to pray about it. But there's a low level of expectation, no different than the church in the early days who simply prayed for Peter to be delivered from jail. When Peter in Acts chapter 12 was delivered from jail and went to see them, they didn't believe it, even though they just prayed it. That's us. We do that. Oh, I prayed about it. Well, we'll see what happens. That's our famous, you know, we'll see what happens. Instead of an expectation, there's just a surrender and we don't know. Who knows? So this principle is borne out in Scripture in a couple of different places. I'm just going to quickly note one and then get into the story on the other. In the story of the centurion in Matthew chapter 8, in verse 13, just at the end of the story, Jesus said, and then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. So the level of faith that the centurion was operating in was the level of faith to which God responded to him. That's tough. That's not nearly as tough as what I'm about to say, but that is tough. Because that explains a lot why some of the prayers don't get answered. One is because I got too much flesh in my prayer. And two, my expectation is not great. And it should be better. And the enemy wants me to stay away from expectation, because what happens if you have expectation? You have a higher level of faith. What happens if you have a higher level of faith? You please God, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So the enemy wants to diminish my faith so I can't please God or operate in the strength of the kingdom in any way. I mean, that's what he wants. He wants us not to win. He's not going to win. He just wants to inflict as much damage as he can. I mean, he's read the end of the book. He knows what's going on. And if you don't think he's read the end of the book, you are clueless. Clueless. And so Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 through 29, this is like the key principle. This is like, there's no escape in this. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 through 29, as Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and asked them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. He touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. There's so many wonderful things in this passage. Kind of sometimes don't know where to begin. Two blind men are following Jesus. Nobody's really asking the question, how do blind men follow Jesus? All right, so they're following by the noise, the crowd. And they say, have mercy on us, son of David, which is a messianic calling, them recognizing Jesus in authority and a position as Messiah. They went indoors and the blind men came to them, and Jesus asked this question. And this is the question that Jesus asks you and me when we're praying. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? If we prayed, and every time before we prayed, we said, okay, do I believe that God is able to do this? And then had to answer that question, our faith would be at a different place, because sometimes we just pray because we know we're supposed to pray. There's not a level of expectation. We're not kind of functioning in that. And the Lord's like, do you believe I can do this? They had a response. Yes. I do. Yes, we do. Yes, Lord. Verse 29, then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. What if they didn't believe that he could do this? Is that principle still true? According to your faith? Well, you don't have any faith. According to your faith, it's not getting done. They had faith to believe that they could see if Jesus touched them. Do we have faith that Jesus can change the circumstance if we pray? Do you believe when the Lord says, do you believe I'm able to do this? Do you say yes? And is your faith real so that if Jesus said to you, well, according to your faith, that's exactly how it's going to happen. Would that faith be genuine? Would that prayer be answered? Would you see the result? I fear in my own life the answer would be no too often. Praying out of obligation, I guess better not praying at all, but praying with no faith or expectation doesn't get it very far. It just doesn't move the needle. You know, there was several years ago, there was a very controversial evangelist. Get ready, I'm going to say his name. Everybody strap in, buckle in. His name was Oral Roberts. He said Oral Roberts. And he passed away, I think it was in 2009. And he had a lot of controversy in his ministry. And I would be the first one to tell you, yep, they had a lot of controversy. In his earlier years, he was, you know, it was like him and Billy Graham. It was really like those guys were right, kind of at the forefront. But he did have a saying that I still think Christians could use. Now, you won't use it if you're a Baptist because you can't have anything affiliated with Oral Roberts, even though there are a multitude of Baptist theologians who went to ORU, which is Oral Roberts University. Forget that. He just had this saying that was really good, better than it was bad, and it was this: expect a miracle. Now, I think in their realm, their expectations of that type of miracle, a little different than what I'm thinking I go through. But I love that they had a saying that said expect a miracle. Because expectation is powerful. Hudson Taylor, who was one of the finest evangelists ever, operated in the principle and the power of E. And he believed it. And that's why he was like, nope, I believe it. I have an expectation. So be it. He was giving an amen to his faith that God would respond to his faith. It's like, cool. And the centurion was told, hey, you know, based on your faith, and the two blind men, based on your faith, according to your faith, let it be done to you. Well, if your faith is terrible, let it be done according to your faith. I guess it's going nowhere. Or you can have a higher level of expectation. Now, that doesn't mean that every time you pray, God is going to say yes. But there are too many of us that think God is saying no 99% of the time. I don't know that that's true. I know we think it's true. I just don't know that it's true. It's ironic that the very first prayer that you and I prayed to become Christians, God didn't say no to that. So that one he'll always say yes to. Where is that in the book? That's the only prayer God always says yes to. Huh. I didn't read that. I will look again. I will read the New Testament for 150th time and see if I can find it yet again. We have to have a level of expectation. The Lord wants us to have a level of expectation. We ought to have a level of expectation. After all, our dad is the king of the universe. And if we have a little faith, it goes a long way. A little expectation goes a long way. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Heavenly Talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
After the decisions to ban prayer and Bible reading in schools, someone observed that kids were going to have to go to a hotel just to read a Bible. That reference was to the long-standing ministry of the Gideon's Organization to place a Bible in every hotel and motel room in America. There are still some countries in the world today where the Bible is banned, where people would love the opportunity to own or have access to God's Word. We should remember the words of the American founding father, Patrick Henry, who said, "The Bible is worth all the other books which have ever been printed." This is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's Word on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com and get your roadmap for life. Route 66, start your journey home today.
This is John MacArthur inviting you to join me for Portraits of Grace. Perhaps you've heard of the old computer term GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. In other words, what you feed into a computer is exactly what you'll get out of it. Well, the same is true of your mind. What you feed it will eventually influence your behavior. That's why you must set your mind on things that are true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good repute, excellent, and worthy of praise. One preacher even said, You should be so saturated with God's word that your blood is bibline, if that's a word. In other words, cut you anywhere and you bleed Bible verses. I hope you're passionate about God's word. I hope you're filling your mind with it, allowing it to control your thinking and your behavior. This is John MacArthur, trusting your lives are portraits of grace.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. We have been having a hour of challenge. It is a challenging hour to hear that you and I need to step up the game in the level of expectation. Started off the very first segment talking about me falling under, I would consider it spiritual warfare, about all of a sudden anticipating, expecting the worst. You know that saying, just wait for the other shoe to drop. That's that negative expectation that I'm talking about. If you have ever said that, thought that, it is you that I'm speaking to. The next element to understand is how powerful expectation really is. Jesus even saying to us, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. There is a high level of expectation. Talked about the story of Hudson Taylor, a fine evangelist who used expectation as part of the many things that he encountered in his missionary trips, the first major missionary to China. Wow. I would anticipate he would need a lot of miraculous help going through that process. I don't know why we'd think any different. Then we kind of looked at some of the examples in Scripture. Looking at the centurion, who Jesus said, according to your faith, or Jesus said, as you believed, it will be done to you. And then the blind man, where Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Of course, before he said that, before he pronounced that, Jesus asked them, do you believe that I am able to do this? A question that every one of us has to answer even before the petition is finished. Do you believe that he is able to do this? Yes or no? And you got to answer that. And that's an important part of this process, having a sincere level of expectation, which is a simple communication of how much faith you do or don't have. Ties back to Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God. You shouldn't just be praying to pray. Nobody is heard for their many words. There's got to be something there. And I am you. I pray many times and think, that's never going to happen. I don't say that. It's just in that recess of my mind. Well, I've prayed 100 times, gotten 3 of these. So this is it's a 3 out of 100 shot. It's like, yeah, that's problematic Christian thinking. It might be how we operate, but it's not how we're supposed to operate. I have a feeling that if we were walking with Jesus and we did that, we would probably hear a few more rebukes, perhaps. Now, why do we need to keep our expectations high? I just thought I'd answer this because this is a superbly important question. Why do we need to keep our expectations high? Of course, it's to get these prayers answered. But I want to open up another door altogether coming out of Mark chapter 10, verse 27, where it says, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. Oh, what? All things are possible with God? Yeah. Except you're not going to access them if you don't think that God can deliver or that God wants to deliver. Here's a prayer that everybody's prayed. Oh, I know God can do it, but will he? That's the thing. You believe in God like I do. And it's like, and God has answered your prayers and done great things. Fantastic. He gives you a sense of peace or a sense of uncomfortableness or whatever that is. And then you think, I know he can answer prayer. He's just not going to do it on this one. That's the expectation is already shot. It's already out the door. My irony there is that with man, things are impossible. But it's interesting. Jesus is talking about salvation here in this text in Mark 10:27 for context. But it's interesting that Jesus doesn't say for salvation is possible with God, but he says all things. Kind of opening up that realm a wee bit. So when we pray, we need to have this higher level of expectation, this higher level of confidence that God is going to do it. Just like Hudson Taylor, we got to put the sails up before we're finished. Got to put them up. You know, I'm going to close out with this story of Elijah, and it's just one of those great stories. Elijah, talking to Ahab, told him, hey, they had had a drought in Israel for 3 years, and Elijah comes in and goes, hey, heavy rain is on the way. And Elijah's like, yeah, sure. Because they had drought for 3 years. Nobody's expecting rain, right? So Elijah goes and prays, and this is what he says. Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, bent down to the ground, put his face between his knees. Although I've never prayed in that position, that seems interesting. Go and look towards the sea, he told his servant. He went up and said, look, there's nothing there. 7 times Elijah said, go back. The 7th time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So this cloud, teeny weeny itty bitty little cloud, just perks up there just a little. And the servant goes, oh, it's probably not a cloud, but okay. Yeah, well, there's something like the size of a man's hand. Elijah says, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. All of a sudden, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose. A heavy rain started falling. Elijah only saw a small cloud the size of a man's hand. The next thing you know, it's a downpour. The little itty bitty cloud. Isn't that cute? Flooding, flooding, flooding. And it's like, see, it's just that little expectation. I think, well, I ain't seeing much. It's not bigger than a man's hand, size of a cloud. All we need. Off we go. Now, here's the problem. The problem is, as much as you doubt yourself or your right praying, you bring that into your faith. And when you bring that into your faith, you're killing your faith before you're starting the process. Well, here you go. This is what Jesus said. Well, according to your faith. Jesus didn't say according to your great faith. He didn't say according to the positive attitude faith. He just said according to your faith. So if your faith is lousy, you get what you get. Your faith is lousy. It's not my fault. Not his fault. It's your fault. According to your faith. Oh, what do you mean? I have responsibility in this relationship? Yes. I have to raise my level of expectation? Yes. I have to operate in faith? Yes. Put the sails up. Because if you believe, the wind is coming. If you believe. Get it? Got it. And keep it. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Gonna take a 22-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.